Janna Vallabha Girivare Dadi Jasoda Nandana Brata Janaram Janna Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vamnachari Jamuna Tira Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivraja Kachaja Ashtotarta Shishimad Abhaya Charana Ravindam Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Kijay Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivraja Kachaja Ashtotarta Shishimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Kijay Ananda Kodi Vaishnavrinda Kijay Iskan Viviti Sangstavakacharya Srila Prabhupada Kijay Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Prem Sikhoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Gopurindu Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shama Kun Radha Kun Giri Uvaran Kijai Shri Vrindavan Dham Kijai Maya Purnabari Dham Kijai Kangamaya Jamunamaya Kijai Shrimari Tulsi Devi Kijai Shrimari Bhakti Devi Kijai Srila Prabhupada Kijai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagatam Kijai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Text number 45 and 46. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Snigdha Pravrid Gana Shamam. Snigdha Pravrid Gana Shamam. Sarva Sondarya Sangraham Sarva Sondarya Sangraham Charvayata Chaturbahu Charvayata Chaturbahu Sujata Ruchir Ananam Sujata Ruchirananam Padmakosha Palashakam Padmakosha Palashaksham Sundarabhru Sunashikam Sundarabhru Sunashikam Sudvijam Sukapulashyam Sudvijam Sukapulashyam Samakarna Vibhushanam Samakarna Vibhushanam Snigdha Pravridganashamam Sava Sundaya Sangraham Charvayata Chaturbahu Sujata Ruchira Ananam Padmakosha Pulashaksham Sundarabhru Sunasikam Sudvijam Sukapolashyam Samakana Vibhushanam Snigna Pravridgana Shamam Sova Sundaya Sangraham Charvayata Tachubhahu Sujata Ruchirananam Padmakosha Pulashaksham Sundarabhru Sunasikam Sudvijam Sukapolashyam Samakarna Vibhushanam Snigdha Pravidgana Shyamam Sarva Sundaya Sangraham Charvayata Chaturbahu Sujata Ruchirananam Padmakosha Pulashaksham Sundara Bhrusanasikam Sudvijam Sukapulashyam Samakarna Vibhushanam Snigdha Pravidganashamam Sarva Sundarya Sangraham Charvayata Chaturbahu Sujata Suchirananam Padmakosha Pilashaksham Sundara Prusunasikam Sudvijam Sukapolasyam Samakarna Vibhushanam Snigdha Pravidgana Shyamam Sarva Sundaya Sangraham Sundarabhru Sunasikam Sudvijam Sukapulashyam Samakarna Vibhushanam Snigdha Pravridgana Shyamam Sarva Sundaya Sangraham Charvayata Chaturbahu Sujata Yuchirananam Padmakosha Balashaksham Sundara Bhrusanasikam Sudvijam Sukapolashyam समकर्णविभूषणम् Ladies, Sarva Sundaya Sangraham, Ganashama Sarva Sundaya Sangraham Charvayata Chaturvahu Sajata Ruchirananam Padmakosha Palasaksham Sundara Brusunasikam Sudvijam Sukapolasyam Samakarna Vibhushanam Snigdha Glistening Pravrit Rainy Season Ganashyamam Densely Cloudy Sarva All Sundarya Beauty Sangraham, collection. Charu, beautiful. Ayata, bodily feature. Chatubahu, unto the four-armed. Sujata, ultimately beautiful. Ruchira, very pleasing. Ananam, face. Padmakosha, the whirl of the lotus flower. Palasha, petals. Aksham, eyes. Sundara, beautiful. Bru, eyebrows. Sunasikam, raised nose. Sudvijam, beautiful teeth. Sukalpula, beautiful forehead. Asyam, face. Samakarna, equally beautiful ears. Vibhushanam, fully decorated. Translation. The Lord's beauty resembles a dark cloud during the rainy season. As the rainfall glistens, His bodily features also glisten. Indeed, He is the sum total of all beauty. The Lord has four arms and an exquisitely beautiful face with eyes like lotus petals, a beautiful highly raised nose, a mind attracting smile, a beautiful forehead, and equally beautiful and fully decorated ears. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. After the scorching heat of the summer season, it is very pleasing to see dark clouds in the sky, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Bahavitasam asitam buddhasundarangam. The Lord wears a beautiful peacock feather in His hair, and His bodily complexion is just like a blackish cloud. The word sundara or snigdha means very pleasing. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya. Krishna's beauty is so pleasing that not even millions upon millions of cupids can compare to it. The Lord's form as Vishnu is decorated in all opulence. Therefore, Lord Shiva is trying to see that most opulent form of Narayan or Vishnu. Generally, the worship of the Lord begins with the worship of Narayan or Vishnu, whereas the worship of Radha and Krishna, of Lord Krishna and Radha, is most confidential. Lord Narayan is worshipable by the Pancharatrika Vidhi, or regulative principles, whereas Lord Krishna is worshipable by the Bhagavad Vidhi. No one can worship the Lord in the Bhagavad Vidhi without going through the regulations of the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Actually, neophyte devotees worship the Lord according to the Pancharatrika Vidhi, or the regulative principles enjoined in the Narada Pancharatra. Radha Krishna cannot be approached by the neophyte devotees. Therefore, temple worship according to regulative principles is offered to Lakshmi Narayan. Although there may be a Radha Krishna Vigraha or form, the worship of the neophyte devotees is acceptable as Lakshmi Narayan worship. Worship according to the Pancharatrika Vidhi is called the Vidhi Marg, and worship according to the Bhagavad Vidhi principles is called Ragamarg. The principles of Ragamarg are especially meant for devotees who are elevated to the Vrindavan platform. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd boys, the cows, and everyone else are actually on the Rag Marg or Bhagavat Marg platform. They participate in five basic rasas: Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, and Shanta. But although these five rasas are found in the Bhagavat Marg, the Bhagavat Marg is especially meant for Vatsalya and Madhurya, or paternal and conjugal relationships. Yet, there is the Vipralamba Sakya, the higher fraternal worship of the Lord, especially enjoyed by the cowherd boys. Although there is friendship between Krishna and the cowherd boys, this friendship is different from the Aishwarya friendship between Krishna and Arjuna. When Arjuna saw the Vishvarup, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, he was afraid for having treated Krishna as an ordinary friend. Therefore, he begged Krishna's pardon. However, the cowherd boys, who are friends of Krishna in Vrindavan, sometimes ride on the shoulders of Krishna. They treat Krishna equally, just as they treat one another, and they are never afraid of him, nor do they ever beg his pardon. Thus, the Rag Marg, or the Bhagavat Marg, friendship exists on a higher platform with Krishna, namely the platform of Vipralamba friendship. Paternal friendship, paternal service, and conjugal service are visible in the Vrindavan Rag Marg relationships. Without serving Krishna according to the Vidhi Marg regulator principles of the Pancharatrika Vidhi, unscrupulous persons want to jump immediately to the Rag Marg principles. Such persons are called Sahajiya. There are also demons who enjoy depicting Krishna and his pastimes with the gopis, taking advantage of Krishna by their licentious character. These demons who print books and write lyrics on the Rag Marg principles are surely on the way to hell. Unfortunately, they lead others down with them. Devotees in Krishna consciousness should be very careful to avoid such demons. One should strictly follow the Didimarg regulator principles in the worship of Lakshmi Narayan, although the Lord is present in the temple as Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna includes Lakshmi Narayan. Therefore, when one worships the Lord according to the regulator principles, the Lord accepts the service in the role of Lakshmi Narayan. In the Nectar of Devotion, full instructions are given about the Vidhimarg worship of Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan. Although there are 64 kinds of offenses one can commit in Vidhimarg worship, in the Ragmarg worship there are no consideration of such offenses because the devotees on that platform are very much elevated, and there is no question of offense. But if we do not follow the regulator principles on the Vidhimarg platform and keep our eyes trained to spot offenses, we will not make progress. In this description, in his description of Krishna's beauty, Lord Shiva uses the words chara vayata chaturbahu sujata ruchirananam, indicating the beautiful four-armed form of Narayan or Vishnu. Those who worship Lord Krishna describe him as Sujata Ruchiranam. In the Vishnu Tattva, there are hundreds and thousands and millions of forms of the Supreme Lord. But of all these forms, the form of Krishna is the most beautiful. Thus, for those who worship Krishna, the word Sujata Ruchirananam is used. The four arms of Lord Vishnu have different purposes. The hands holding a lotus flower and a conch shell are meant for the devotees, whereas the other two hands holding a disc and mace or club are meant for the demons. Actually, all of the Lord's arms are auspicious, whether they are holding conch shells and flowers or clubs and discs. The demons killed by Lord Vishnu's chakra disc and club are elevated to the spiritual world, just like the devotees who are protected by the hands holding the lotus flower and the conch shell. However, the demons who are elevated to the spiritual world are situated in the impersonal Brahman effulgence, whereas the devotees are allowed to enter into the Vaikuntha planets. Those who are devotees of Lord Krishna are immediately elevated to the Goloka Vrindavan planet. The Lord's beauty is compared to rainfall because when the rain falls in the rainy season, it becomes more and more pleasing to the people. After the scorching heat of the summer season, the people enjoy the rainy season very much. Indeed, they even come out of their doors in the villages and enjoy the rainfall directly. Thus, the Lord's bodily features are compared to the clouds of the rainy season. The devotees enjoy the Lord's beauty because it is a collection of all kinds of beauties. Therefore, the word Sarva Sundarya Sangraham is used. No one can say that the body of the Lord is wanting in beautiful parts. It is completely Purnam. Everything is complete. God's creation, God's beauty, and God's bodily features. All these are so complete that all one's desires can become fully satisfied when one sees the beauty of the Lord. The word Sarva Sundarya indicates that there are different types of beauties in the material and spiritual worlds, and that the Lord contains all of them. Both materialists and spiritualists can enjoy the beauty of the Lord, because the Supreme Lord attracts everyone, including demons and devotees, materialists and spiritualists. He is called Krishna. Similarly, his devotees also attract everyone. As mentioned in the Sadgo Swami Stotra, Dira Dir Janapriyo, the Goswamis are equally dear to the Dira, devotees, and the Adira, demons. Lord Krishna was not very pleasing to the demons when he was present in Vrindavan, but the six Goswamis were pleasing to the demons when they were present in Vrindavan. That is the beauty of the Lord's dealings with his devotees. Sometimes the Lord gives more credit to his devotees than he takes for himself. For instance, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna fought simply by giving directions. Yet it was Arjun who took the credit for fighting. Nimitta matram bhava sabhyasachin. You, O Sabhyasachi, Arjun, can be but an instrument in the fight. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, text 33. Everything was arranged by the Lord, but the credit of victory was given to Arjun. Similarly, in the Krishna consciousness movement, everything is happening according to the predictions of Lord Chaitanya, but the credit goes to Lord Chaitanya's sincere servants. Thus, the Lord is described here as Sarva Sundarya Sangraham. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaya Te Gadeem Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Gurun Dinatarnam Paramanam Namaratam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram. So, in this verse, we see that Lord Shiva is offering his prayers. He is interested in the form of the Lord. He mentions specifically the Ghanashyamam, the form that is attractive, just like a thick monsoon cloud. In the heat of the summer season, the everything becomes dried up. It is so hot, and due to the clouds that come and the rain that they bring, everyone enjoys. They're very happy. They get relief from the intense heat. So, in the same way, the devotees of the Lord, by seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, they get relief. They enjoy. They like that very much. The Brahma Samhita mentions the form of Lord Krishna, his threefold bending form with peacock feather, playing the flute, tending the cows. So this is the form of the Lord that is the most attractive form of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada mentions that this worship of Radha and Krishna, it's for the devotees who are on that platform. That is the spontaneous platform of devotional service, the platform of Rag Marg. Devotional service, in the regulative, according to the regulative principles, is known as Vidhi Marg. This Vidhi Marg is the practice, practicing devotional service. And that devotional service is offered to Lakshmi Narayan. It is not possible to worship Radha and Krishna unless you're on that platform of spontaneous attraction. By regularly performing devotional service through the regulator principles, and those are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. There's 64 items of devotional service that one can perform in this process, in the Pancharatrika Vidhi. By gradually becoming purified, then one can be elevated to the platform of spontaneous attraction to devotional service. Now, Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion mentions that in the devotional service in practice, Vidhi Marg, we do things out of regulation. It's time for Mangal Arati, so we get up. And, you know, that's our regulation. We do it on a regular basis. Then we chant our rounds. Then the devotees, you know, bathe the deities, dress the deities, right? So we do that out of regulation. But spontaneous devotional service is that one is attracted by these things. One automatically rises early with enthusiasm to go and see the deity, see the Supreme Lord in the temple and worship the deity, right? This spontaneous devotional service, it can't be, you know, imitated, it can't be forced. It's something that happens automatically as the devotee progresses in devotional service. Sometimes, Prabhupada mentions unscrupulous persons, they imitate this. They artificially think that they're on the platform, or they think that somehow or another, by some practice, they're on that platform. And some devotees became bewildered in the early days. And they were known as the Gopi Bhava Club. Right? The Gopi Bhava Club. Because they were practicing being on the Rag Marg. Right? And when Srila Prabhupada heard about this, he was very upset. And he came to Los Angeles where it was going on, and he straightened those devotees out. Right? Our platform is the platform of Vidhimarg, performing devotional service on a regular basis. That is, rising early in the morning, worshiping the deity in the temple, simultaneously with that, cleaning the temple, like in the prayers that we chant in the morning, the Gurubhastakam, right? Shivigrahara dhananichanana sringaratam mandira marjanado. Right? We worship the deity in the temple, cleaning the temple. There's no difference. It's not that Krishna sees that service equally. It's not that the devotee that is putting a garland on the deity is doing very high service, and the devotee that is sweeping the temple is doing some lower service. Krishna never sees like that. Krishna sees everyone's service equally. So whatever service that we have been given by the temple authorities, we should try to do that service very conscientiously. And by attempting to perform that service with our best ability, with all the enthusiasm and all the determination that we can gather up, right? Krishna, from within our hearts, he sees that. Right? In previous prayers, Lord Shiva was glorifying the Lord as the Paramatma. He's all pervading. He's within every atom. He's within everyone's heart. So that's a very important realization. The deities in the temple that we worship, they're actually an expansion of Shirdakshay Vishnu, the Paramatma. Right? And as we go on worshiping the Lord through the regulative principles, as we go on becoming purified, this process is a process of purification, purifying our consciousness from the contamination of material association. What is that material association? That material association is that I think I am this body and I can enjoy this body. That's our contamination. Until we become purified of this contamination, the Lord, although He's there within our hearts, right? We don't understand that. We don't appreciate that. We don't realize that. And gradually, by constantly performing devotional service on a regular basis, the nine processes of devotional service, right? Now, those nine processes of devotional service purify us. They bring us to the platform of appreciating our relationship with the Lord. Those are also divided into different areas, right? So Shramanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, those are referred to as the Bhagavad Vidhi. Right? We see in the relationship between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Preakshit, Shukadeva Goswami was speaking and Maharaj Preakshit was listening. This is the Bhagavat Mar, hearing and chanting, and in that way remembering. This is the highest. But then, for neophytes, it's not possible to be absorbed like Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Preakshit. Maharaj Preakshit sat down and heard continuously, day and night, without eating, without sleeping, without drinking anything. He only was absorbed in hearing. Can we do like that? No. We don't have that much taste, right? We're not on that platform. Therefore, there's archanam, bandhanam, padasevanam, dasyam. Right? And that's the pancharatrika vidhi, the vidhi marg, right? Devotional service through regulated principles. Right? And that's very important for neophyte devotees. Very, very important for neophyte devotees. You know, we preach a lot. You can, do devotional service in your house, and it's true. That's not something that we're just saying. You can. But it's not so easy. There's a lot of distractions, you know. People try to do devotional service in their house. It's not like living in the temple. I always compare it. Living in the temple is like jumping in the river, right? If you jump in the river, the current is going to take you, right? You can go with the current because there's a strong flow. Right? But, and that's like living in the temple. Performing devotional service in your house is like jumping in the river and trying to swim up against the current because there's so many distractions, right? As soon as you come into anybody's house, go anywhere in Bombay, what's in the front room? Right in the front room, it's the TV set, right? Now they're big, 21 inches, 32 inches, you know, flat screened and digital, right? It's a huge distraction, right? But it's like everyone's deity, practically. Yes, they worship it. They all come together and sit in front of it and turn it on, and they're meditating. Whatever comes out of the TV, they fully surrender to. It's like a deity. They're mesmerized by the television. So trying to do devotional service in such circumstances is like trying to go against the current. Therefore, I mean, in the West, it's absolutely no question at all of doing devotional service at home. In those days, either you lived in the temple or you were in Maya, right? If one of the Prabhujis or Madhujis left the temple, he was blooped. Blooped was a word that Prabhupada gave. And he said that when someone goes back into Maya, you know, it's like you put a pebble in the pond, and you drop it in the pond, it goes bloop, right? So when someone left the temple, they were blooped. They're back into the material energy. They're blooped. So we're in a very fortunate position, those devotees living in the temple. because devotional service is available to them in so many different ways, 24 hours a day, if you want. Right? When you're dedicating your life to Krishna, then even sleeping is like a service. We don't try to sleep. We try not to sleep more, but in order to keep the body fit, you have to sleep some, right? 5 or 6 hours maximum, right? Is good for the body, and therefore you can do your devotional service better. So that becomes also a service. Taking foodstuff to energize the body, it is also a service. Why? Because that foodstuff is offered to Krishna. It's cooked with the consciousness that it's being made for the pleasure of Krishna, not for sense gratification. In the, you know, 5-star hotels, they're cooking some soup, and they taste it to see if it's got enough salt in it, right? But prasadam is made with a total different consciousness. The devotees that are preparing, they're preparing only for Krishna. And Krishna will be the first one to enjoy this, right? And prasadam that's made with that consciousness, or foodstuffs that's made with that consciousness, it becomes free from any kind of sinful reaction. Whereas food, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that is made for personal sense enjoyment, that is like sin. It's pap. One's eating pap. Right? So the devotees of the Lord are very careful that whatever they eat should be offered to Krishna. Therefore, they don't go to the hotels. Right? In the early days of Juhu Temple, sometimes it was popular for some devotees. Many of those are not here now, but maybe one or two are still here. They used to like to go to the Udupi restaurant and eat idlis and dosas. Right? Because the life member had some Udupi restaurant, so sometimes they would go there. But that was wrong, because that's not food offered to Krishna. That's not prepared for the pleasure of Krishna. Even though it may be vegetarian, that's not really the criteria. Because even the pigeons flying around here in the temple room, they're vegetarian, right? If our only criterion in foodstuff is that it should be vegetarian, well, then your next life you can become a pigeon in the temple and be vegetarian. Well, we don't want that, do we? No. We want to be progressive. We want to be progressive. And that progression is that we become very serious about the Vaidhi Marg. Right? Rising early, taking bath, attending Mangalarti, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. And worshiping the deities in the temple. Right? Everything we should do, everything we do should be in relation to them. Now, if you don't have that fortune that you can live in the temple, don't worry. Doesn't matter. If you have developed that consciousness that whatever you're doing is far still the deity in the temple, you can still arrange your life in such a way that whatever activity you're doing, short of being maybe a butcher or something like that, you can do it for Krishna. Right? You are working, there's some result that's coming from your work, so you can offer that to Krishna. And therefore, your work is dovetailed with the service of Krishna. But ultimately, we want to come to even a higher platform than that. But this will help us. You know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, always engage your mind in thinking of me. Always. 24 hours thinking of Krishna. Now we might not be able to do that due to our fallen condition. But we can work for Krishna, offer the results of our activities, and that will purify us so that gradually we can come to that platform of always being able to meditate on Krishna. Come to that platform of chanting the holy name and being attracted by that holy name. So Krishna, Srila Prabhupada here talks about the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Maybe we should talk about that for a little bit. We see that there are four different Vaishnava sampradayas, and they're all worshipping the Supreme Lord. So what makes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sampradaya different? Right? Excuse me. It's okay. What makes it different? The devotees that go to Vaikuntha are the devotees that are, their relationship with the Lord is in awe and reverence. Right? They are very much attracted and enamored by the different aspects of the Lord as being all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient. That the Lord is the creator of everything. He maintains everything. Ultimately, by His will, everything is destroyed, annihilated. Right? So these opulences, the Lord is all filled with all opulences. Right? The devotees in Vaikuntha, they're very much attracted by this. But the devotees that live in Vrindavan, they have a different relationship with the Lord. The devotees in Vrindavan, they're not aware that Krishna is God. It doesn't enter their mind. Right? All they know is that, you know, Krishna is he's our Gaonwala and we like him. Amara Gaon. Right? Vrindavan. Just like if two people from the same village, right, they come in contact with each other in a big city like Bombay, they immediately think, oh, my Gaonwala. Right? So they're thinking like that. Krishna, he's ours, right? And we like him. He's beautiful, right? They're always meditating on Krishna. Mother Yashoda's thinking, if I don't feed Krishna, he'll starve. Nobody in Vaikuntha is thinking like that. The Supreme Lord's going to starve, right? Rather, they're thinking without him, we'll starve. Huh? Mother Yashoda, she's not thinking like that. I have to feed him. And all day long, she's thinking about how to get milk from those cows that eat the sweetest grasses. Because with their milk, she wants to make kheer for Krishna. That's her meditation. And that Krishna should be protected. Same way with, that's called parental affection. Vatsalya. Vatsalya. And then there's the gopis. The gopis' love for Krishna is the highest. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the gopis' method of love for Krishna is supreme. The gopis are always thinking of Krishna. From the early in the morning, he's going out into the forest. And the gopis are thinking, the perfection of the eyes, the perfection of the eyes is to see Krishna and Balaram entering the forest and tending the cows. And all day long they think about the lotus feet of Krishna and how soft they are. They think, Krishna's feet are so soft, right? And they think of the stones and the twigs that are on the forest floor. And they're always worried that his feet are being pricked by these stones and twigs. And this way they meditate on Krishna. So that is Madhurya Ras, conjugal relationships. That's the difference between Vaikuntha and Goloka. Now, as followers of Sri Chaitanya, this understanding of this Krishna Loka and the inhabitants' relationship with Krishna and Krishna Loka, right? It's not that it's not known in the other sampradayas. There's just no access to it. It's only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we can hope to understand or enter into that relationship with Krishna. Right? The other Vaishnav Sampradayas are performing Vaidhi Bhakti with the anticipation to enter into the Vaikuntha Lokas. But we see in the prayers, Manasiksha, of Raghunath Das Goswami, where he's praying to his mind. And he prays to his mind, "My dear mind, don't even think about going to Vaikuntha." Of course, we're not Raghunath Das Goswami. If we made it to Vaikuntha, we'd probably be pretty lucky. But he's praying like that. Because that ras, that taste, that mellow that in Krishna Loka that the devotees have with Krishna is far superior. The cowherd boys, right? They're thinking Krishna is our friend. They play with him. They play cops and robbers. And the loser of the game has to carry the winner on his shoulders, right? So sometimes Krishna also loses, and he has to carry his cowherd boyfriends on his shoulders, right? Right? Arjuna, the example, the difference in friendship, Sakya. The Sakya of Arjuna and that of the cowherd boys is completely different. When Arjuna saw the Vishvarup, the gigantic form, the universal form of the Lord, he realized the position of Krishna. And he apologized for his familiarity with Krishna. Sometimes they sat on the bed together and had friendly talks. And he felt that was wrong. That was not my position. Right? But those cowherd boys in Vrindavan, they never feel anything wrong. They never ask pardon. Right? Raktak, Varutapa, Sudama. Right? They have different mellows. Some of them kind of have parental affection for Krishna. Some of them have more, they're involved in his other pastimes with the gopis by delivering messages. They have different stages as described by the Goswamis. But they're always Krishna's friend. And they have joking talks, right? Maru Mangal, the Brahmin friend, he's always making jokes. And Krishna's joking with him like that. Vatsalya. So all the rasas are there in Vrindavan. And specifically as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're meant to enter into that sublime and supreme pastimes of the Lord of Krishna's rasa dance. And we should know that Harinam Sankirtan, what is that Harinam Sankirtan? What is it? The congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Goloka eva premadan Harinam Sankirtan. That from Goloka, this Harinam Sankirtan has descended, right? The congregational chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, is actually the rasa dance descended into Kali Yuga to this world. It's not an ordinary thing. Therefore, we chant our japa. We chant kirtan. Japa is individual. Kirtan is together. Of the two, kirtan is so important because it's the yuga dharma. It's the means by which one can be elevated to the highest platform of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada talks here about unscrupulous persons who try to jump to this before they're ready, right? You know, you can jump as far as you can jump. You can't jump farther than that. But they try to jump all the way as if they're on the platform of advanced devotees. And they make so many offenses. They're known as prakriti sahajas. In other words, they take things very cheaply. They equate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna with ordinary mundane relationships between boys and girls. And this is very offensive. Prabhupada said such persons, they're on their way to hell. And unfortunately, they take so many innocent people with them. So we have to be very careful. We have to be very strict in following the regulated principles of devotional service, which are all mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, avoiding the offenses. Right? There's so many offenses that can be made in worshiping the Lord. We have to avoid the offenses. And then it will be possible for us to gradually advance. That's why Srila Prabhupada, when he first opened up the Krishna Balaram temple, he said, you don't need to go outside the temple. Just sit in the temple and chant Hare Krishna. You don't need to go anywhere else in Vrindavan. Why did he say that? Because there's a lot of nonsense that's going around in Vrindavan, right? And it's all in the name of devotional service. And he knew we were easily swayed away from the real path. So therefore, he said, just sit in the temple and chant Hare Krishna. There's Mayavadis in Vrindavan. They also chant. It's a big fashion now in the States. The yoga centers, they like to do kirtan. There's one kirtanwala that's famous. His name is Krishnadas. And he's a disciple of some Babaji in Vrindavan, who's no more. But that Babaji is a pakka Mayavadi. And he's doing Govinda Jaya Jaya kirtan. And at the end, when he gives a lecture, he says, you're God, I'm God, we're all God. And Prabhupada said, take a boot and smash on his face. So there's a lot of nonsense that's floating around. One has to be very careful. Stick to the parampara. Stick to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and his instructions. That will be best. Our parampara is no ordinary parampara. Very pure devotees that have descended from the spiritual world just to guide us. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, all Nitya Siddhas to help us come to the pure platform. Of course, for those devotees that are in Vaikuntha, the form of the Lord is extremely beautiful, and they're extremely satisfied with that also. It's not that there's anything lacking. But as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we understand the variations that are there in devotional service, and the aspiration as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to be elevated to Goloka Vrindavan Dham. There's more things. I mean, this purport is extremely packed with different points, but it's already 9:15, and we can take questions. Great test. Are there any questions? Yeah, there's no demons in Vaikuntha. There's also no demons in Krishna Loka. Srila Prabhupada was asked that question. No demons. But there's rumors of demons. The rumor goes around that the demon's coming. So the devotees get in that mood, you know, of, like in Vrindavan, of protecting Krishna. And in Vaikuntha, of being protected by Lord Vishnu. Right? And sometimes, even though there's no demons, still the devotees meditate on the Lord. And they think of his club. And they think of his chakra. And they meditate on all the different unlimited spokes that are there in the chakra. And when they meditate on the club, they think how the club is dripping with blood from killing the demons. That's part of their meditation. So even though there's no demons in Vaikuntha, still there's that bhav. Yes, Mr. Praneshwar.
Thank you for a good class, Raj.
Hare Krishna.
Probably all the five rasas are there in Golok Vrindavan.
Yes.
Including Shantaras. So normally we understand that Shantaras means awe and reverence. Normally, even in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is given that we don't take Shantaras into consideration actually, because service doesn't begin. Service begins with Dasyaras. So how come in Goloka, where there shouldn't be any awe and reverence, how come there is Shantaras?
It's there, but it manifests itself in a different way. My understanding is like the grass, they're still in the mood of service, but they're not directly interacting with Krishna, and that's what is Santarasa and Goloka. That was my understanding. But yes, you're right. Santas, you know, neutrality, which you wouldn't imagine is there in Goloka. Nobody's neutral in relationship to Krishna and Goloka. But still they have a kind of relationship that is considered santa. Any other questions? Yes. I told you, take a boot and beat on their face. They're foolish. It's a foolishness. God is always God. You don't become God. Right? God is in every human being. That's right. But that doesn't mean you're God. God is there as the Paramatma. Sarvasya chaham riti sannivisto, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. But how do you conclude that, okay, because of that I'm God? How is that? God, if we try to impose upon God our limited understanding, our limited brain power, we'll always come up with a mistake. We have to understand from authoritative scriptures, from Shastra, from saintly persons, what is what. And the Acharyas all explained that there are two, the living entity and the Supreme Lord. The living entity, Lord. The necessities of the plural Nityanam, eternals, both eternal, Satchit Ananda. But the Lord is vast and the living entity is minute. So they mistake it, they don't get it right, right? Simply because they are envious of the Lord. They want to falsely claim the Lord's position. In the earlier verse, it was talked about that. And so, when they're asked, well, what about sometimes the living entities in the body of a pig or a hog or a dog? They say that's all pastimes. It's just the pastimes. But we say no. Pastimes are what the Lord voluntarily accepts for His own pleasure. But the conditioned soul, they're forced to enter the various bodies by their karma. Right? So we understand properly from the authoritative scriptures and the acharyas as to what our position actually is.